Hello, sacred beings, and welcome to another episode of Sacred Sister Podcast. I'm your host, Britt Lynn. How's 2022 starting off for everyone? Is it just me that is feeling this influx of energy, of opportunities? I feel like as grateful as we are when we really set intention to show up more to the world and then those opportunities begin flooding in, as much as it is a celebration, I want to right here and now acknowledge how much work it is to up-level, to really shift, right? To expand, to allow our energy to expand so that we can rise to these new opportunities that are presenting themselves. It's interesting because for me, at least, the preparatory stages that get me ready for showing up to the opportunity are often quite challenging. And this is the expansion in the inhale, the blossoming of the flower. It is the beautiful dance that we see between the expansion and contraction. So if you are experiencing a massive season of expansion, really, I just wanted to acknowledge you in this state. Thank you for showing up, and also know that contraction is a natural part of the expansion process. Wow, I feel like this energy of 2022 is starting out just so ripe, so amplified. It feels really, really good, and it can feel very overwhelming. So for everyone who's listening to this right now, who is on my wavelength, literally resonating at the vibration that I am experiencing currently, who might be wiping sweat from their brow as I speak, saying, yes, Britt, I'm there with you. I so feel this. I also want to extend a gentle, loving reminder to you to take time for yourself, to take space to yourself. I'm saying this out loud as medicine for my own ears to pick up on, because it can be hard. It can be hard to remind ourselves to take that time, to take that space, to ask for support, to take breaks. I'm going to invite each and every one of you listening, especially hello, if you're brand new to this podcast, if this is the very first episode that you're tuning into. It is such an exciting one. We cannot wait to open this dialogue on conscious parenting and healing the inner child with beauty, Nicole Amber Eaton, who I'm going to be talking about here in a moment. But before we get into that, I would love to invite each and every one of you to assume a comfortable position, one that your sit bones are feeling naturally grounded into what it is that you're seated upon. Feet pressing into the earth if you are standing. And very simply, just three grounding breaths together. Big, deep inhale into the chest. And relax as sigh it out. Two more just like that. You're here, you've made it. You're exactly where you need to be. And last time. I want to commend each and every one of you who are here listening to this episode, here receiving these words right now, allowing them to fall upon your ears. You're doing such a good job in life, in leadership, in your own embodiment of your own being. You know, within this realm, we can feel very forward called, forward moving. We're on a mission. We're evolving. We're growing self-awareness. We're transmuting energies, witnessing shadows in constant flux and flow. No matter where you fall on that spectrum or what it is that's presenting itself to you here now, at this season, in this moment of your life, I just want to be a voice that says, I see you. You're doing a good job. Give yourself grace and compassion to really witness how far you've come. On to the episode. Are you ready to deepen dialogue on conscious parenting today? Today we welcome self-actualization mentor Nicole Amber Eaton, owner of Raise the Conscious. Nicole is a conscious parenting coach, speaker, and pediatric occupational therapist specializing in child development. This episode helps you transform into the parents that your children deserve while tending inner child wounds that arise in that process. In this episode, we deepen the dialogue on the road to being a conscious parent, honoring your call as a parent, understanding and establishing healthy boundaries, your internal journey in parenthood, how some wounds get triggered during parenthood, how your children can mirror past emotions back to you. We talk about contrast on how you were raised versus how you raise your children. And one of the really special aspects of this episode in particular is that we have many vantage points that we're looking at this conversation from. I am a mother to an 8-year-old puppy, to my dog Picasso, but I don't have children earthside just yet. I have experienced 2 miscarriages, and my husband and I are going to actively start trying to have children later this year. And it's a fun conversation to have for me because I have, and I'll describe more of this in the interview, but I have actively been trying to not have children thus far. And it's been so lovely for me to have Hannah as a sacred sister because I remember when Hannah got pregnant with her first baby, Emma, May, in like almost 5 years ago. Well, no, she got pregnant 9 months before 5 years ago. So it's almost been 6 years. I remember when Hannah got pregnant, and now she's given birth to Jacob Orion, who is about 5 months old at this point. And it's been a fun piece for me. We got with our now husbands the same year. So it's been a fun thing for me to witness my sacred sister getting pregnant and becoming a parent, and then witnessing her conscious parenthood styles and just witnessing her grow a child and now 2 children, and constantly kind of be asking myself, like, well, she's ready. Like, am I ready? Am I ready yet? And really being open to the responses that arise within me, because the responses are always no. And I think this is a piece of conversation that is an important one to hold space for as well, because sometimes when we have friends around us that are getting pregnant, or when we are one of the only family members in our family who hasn't started having children yet, even if you are in a secure relationship or in a marriage or whatever, and things are going so great, people can then start to turn to you and say, like, when are you gonna start having children or whatever? So it's so important for us to really just drop any expectations that are being held over ourselves by others or whatever the case may be. I wanted to touch on that. I'm very happy that this conversation went exactly how it did. It's so lovely for myself as a non-parent yet to be witnessing and intaking these conversations. So by no means is this episode solely for parents or solely for people that are looking to still have children. At least for myself as a Gemini stellium, I really appreciate being able to overhear and witness conversations like this going on, because it's imperative. I'm an aunt to a nephew and a niece, and it's like one of my favorite roles in my entire life. Those auntie and uncle roles are nearly equally as important as the parents, right? It's those people that are surrounding the child. Think back to our ancestral communal roots, where we're growing up with aunts and uncles, grandmothers, grandfathers, cousins, All these roles play vital parts in the people that we grow to be. So I really, really love this conversation. You can follow Nicole online. She's mostly hanging out on Instagram and Facebook. On Instagram, her handle is Nicole, N-E-K-O-L-E, Amber, Eaton, E-A-T-O-N, and her company, Raising the Conscious. And on Facebook, you can find her at nicole.amber, also by visiting her website, nicoleamber.com, to connect more deeply with Nicole and the offerings that she has unfolding. With that being said, let's dive into Hannah's astrology segment. We want to thank you for tuning in to Sacred Sister Podcast and invite you to share this episode, if it is of resonance to you, with anyone and everyone who it may be of benefit for. In this Aquarian age, it is so important for us to be sharing information that is vital, that is important, that is helping us grow and evolve as humans. So we thank you so much for being here with us, and we look forward to seeing you in the show. Let's dive in.
Hello, sacred being. Welcome to the Inner Blueprint section here with your host, Hannah Lena. And today we're going to look into Nicole's astrological chart. I love using Western astrology. That's the astrology that I am certified in. And it helps us to look into her main archetypes. And then throughout the interview, I invite you to notice some of those archetypes coming out. And in this way, astrology becomes more practical and down to earth. And you can maybe even find yourself or some of your loved ones within those archetypes as well. Because ultimately, we all have all 12 archetypes within us. We're just on a spectrum with each one of them, and we're expressing them in a very unique way. So, let's dive in. Nicole's sun is in Cancer in the 7th house. And I think that is just so beautiful because she's literally about conscious parenting. And with her sun being in Cancer, Cancer is the mother of the zodiac, the nurturer, the guardian, the protector, the intuitive. And with the sun being in the 7th house, it's also important for Nicole to be a conversation starter, to be a pioneer in the ways that she finds common promises, compromises, cooperates, co-leads with others, and especially with children. Cancer is ruled by the moon, and the moon stands for women and children. And her moon is in Aries in the 3rd house. So the relationship to her children is that she wants her children to be fierce and strong. That's that Aries warrior, right? Confident in themselves. And then also in the 3rd house, communicative and being able to share their emotions and connect vulnerably. And then the moon also shows our past. And with the moon in Aries in the 3rd house, square her sun, which means that she has troubles here, she had challenges here in the past, in regards to expressing her emotions freely. She wasn't taught how to communicate and express her feelings in a way that feels good and empowering. With the moon in Aries, we often hold back our tears. We hold back our emotions because it can sometimes feel scary with that fire in our emotions to come out. And what do we do with that? And then the fire, Aries, wants to be strong and wants to be the one that is confident and has all their shit together, right? And so when we like show up vulnerably, then that's a challenge for Moon and Aries. And Nicole went through that challenge within herself, healed her inner child, reparented herself. And therefore, she really makes good use of that sun square moon in her chart, because therefore, while she's healing her inner child, she's also helping other parents to be a conscious parent, nourish themselves and their children in a way that helps all of them to feel empowered. So it's beautiful how she combines her sun in Cancer here and the moon in Aries. A warrior mama, that's really who she is, and really helping others to step into that warrior parent as well. that are here to bring more peace and harmony into the world. Really, children are our next generation, and the more that we are healing our own inner child, the better parents we can be for our children, and therefore we are creating a new generation that is going to take better care of each other and of the world. And that is another thing with her Sagittarius rising that is right on the cusp between Sagittarius and Capricorn. And Sagittarius is a teacher, a mentor. And her Jupiter, which is the ruler of Sagittarius, is in the fourth house of parenthood, of family, of home. So she's really teaching about that. That's where she is meant to bring blessings to other people and help them feel deeper into that self-love, into being the divine mother to oneself and to our children. And then with Capricorn here, as part of the cusp, it also shows that she's meant to create new foundations and structures for this next generation, a new way of parenting that is based here with Saturn in the 12th house, that is based on unconditional love and forgiveness and acceptance and that deep divine connection that we have with all that is. And at the same time, strong boundaries for oneself and others so that we can still fill up our own cup so we can give from that place of overflow. I think Nicole is doing an amazing job in fulfilling her inner blueprint. And it's always such an honor for me to look into the inner blueprints of our guests and see, oh my gosh, they are living it. And it's not surprising because they're successful and they're feeling aligned to their path. And they are. And we can literally see that in our inner blueprint. So if you are ready to dive deeper into your personal inner blueprint, I still have one spot open for February and a few more spots open for March. So go to my website, hannahchristensen.com, click on Inner Blueprint and use the code SACREDSIS to get a special discount as our Sacred Sister podcast listener. And usually these Inner Blueprint readings are an hour long. So we're going much deeper than this little piece that I just did on Nicole. So if you haven't already, follow us on Instagram at Sacred Sister Podcast. We're really excited to be shifting up things on our Instagram and adding some more features and fun things for you to interact with. And now, without further ado, let's dive into the episode. Let's take a deep breath in and out. Relax and enjoy.
Sacred sister, a kindred flame, may we light one another. From the ashes rise, oh, we rise, oh,
again. So I'd love to start just by taking a few deep breaths to ground us in this space. So settle in, close your eyes, and take a moment to breathe in deeply. Gently exhale through your mouth. Let it all go. Let that breath come back in. Ground into your space and release. One last breath in. Exhale, let it all go. Become open to receive whatever is meant for you in this conversation. And my hope is that everything unfolds for the greatest good, the highest good of all. So be it. Thank
you. So good.
So be it.
Oh, thank you so much for that. And welcome to Sacred Sister Podcast, Nicole.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
Oh my gosh, we're so excited to have you. I was saying a bit in the right before we got started that we've known, Hannah and I have known for many years since Sacred Sister Podcast basically started that we were going to be having this conversation. So the time has come today. We're so excited to open dialogue on conscious parenting. And I'm really curious to know, like this morning preparing for this, I was like, well, I'm really curious to know your story and also if whether this like monolith offering that you've decided to base your business on is somewhat rooted or based in the parenting that you received as a child as well. Like what's on your heart to share about what your story has looked like up until this point?
Yeah. You know, it's so beautiful because it's all unfolded in the most unexpected of ways. My journey in motherhood has been so deep in that when I was pregnant with my first son, Kai, who is almost 6 years old, I went through an initiation of really understanding boundaries and deeply respecting myself. I worked at a job in which I went with the flow and I was doing things in a way that really wasn't honoring my soul calling, but I felt that safety and that status quo was what I needed to do. And it's interesting because motherhood bumped up against a really significant point in that career where I found out I was being paid significantly less than a brand new hire who happened to be a white woman. And I said, okay, let me prove that I'm worth that jump in a raise. So I went and I did advanced practice work. And then I went to them and I said, okay, once I had the certificate, hey guys, I'm asking for this much money. And they said, yeah, sorry, we're not going to give it to you. And so I was given a choice in that moment. Okay, what are you going to do? And I went out on maternity leave and I had Kai and we were bonding so beautifully after a really traumatic birth experience. And when I was supposed to come back to work, I had that internal pull of you're not ready yet, like ask for a little more time. And when I asked for that time, what I found out was they were trying to fire me behind my back. I actually received an email that was meant for HR saying, hey, what are our legal options here? And so in that moment, I really had this, it was like the clearest my soul had spoke to me, like, you really need to take this stand for yourself, not only for you, but to model for your child what is available when we follow the pull of our soul that's been whispering to us all this time, and you're bumped up against a moment that you know isn't right. You know, none of this is right. And so I was like, I'm starting my own business. Did I know how to run a business? No, I didn't. Did I know what was ahead of me? No. Was it scary? Yes. But that moment came and everything started to really unfold in beautiful circles from that point. But what's also beautiful is that this work in conscious parenting began at that point. And things were difficult in the home. Kai wasn't sleeping through the night. I was in deep sleep deprivation. Mike, my husband, and I were trying to figure out our roles, our expectations of one another, dropping what society had put in front of us as like, this is the way, because it wasn't working for us. We had our own unique path. And in all of my hope for creating this perfect life for this little human that went A plus B equals C, when that all fell apart for me, I realized it was my journey first. You know, like I could read all the parenting books. I could listen to the best experts, but what I wasn't prepared for was my own internal journey that brought me home to my truth, that helped me reestablish important boundaries that I had let go for or traded for what I thought was acceptance or being liked or, you know, fitting in a society that has these sharp corners, right? And when I was able to shed all of that and peel that away through this journey, I realized not only was I doing this for me and for my kids, but for future generations. And there was so much ancestral healing in this. So I needed to be brought to the fire. You know, I needed everything to fall apart, to be pushed and ushered on this journey that ultimately became my life's work. So that's kind of the long way around how I ended up here, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's been so, so beautiful, so powerful.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. Yes, yeah. It's absolutely like that. It's an initiation.
It is.
Just knowing from my personal experience as well, when I actually had my daughter on my Saturn return. So I literally went from maiden to mother, like physical mother.
Wow.
And it was similar in that sense, as you were just describing, that I just realized so many things that didn't work anymore. And one of the things that I was really afraid of is I never really thought of the birthing process before I was pregnant. Like, I knew I'm going to have a child at some point. When I was young, I was like, I'm probably going to get a C-section, like a planned C-section, you know, like one of those. I was just completely disconnected from my body and like what I actually would want to do and feel into. And when I got pregnant, and it was a surprise, and we were super happy about it, but it was a surprise. And I was like, okay. And at the same time, it wasn't, because like, I've been getting messages that children are coming into your life, like from the divine, like this whole like months before, but I just ignored them. Anyway, I felt like, oh my gosh, I don't want to go to the hospital. Mm. And that was the first time when I was like, whatever options are there? And I looked into home birthing and I looked into midwife, and that led to, oh, I don't want to go to conventional doctors and have conventional medicine. That turned me on to natural healing and herbs and, you know, all this stuff. And that I started doing that while I was pregnant. And in turn, it healed me, you know, and just as you were saying, it starts within us. And for those of our listeners that don't have children yet, or are maybe not even planning on children as of right now, but just knowing that you can already start with those deeper healing pieces inside of you right now, because when baby is here, all of those childhood wounds are going to get triggered.
Yes.
All of it is going to be back on the table. And then it's like, okay, what do I do with it? So as more as we can already start creating tools on how to integrate and how to work through those wounds, because there's never going to be a point where all the childhood wounds are healed and now I'm ready child. Like, it's not going to happen. But it's like, what are the processes and the tools, the resources that we have that guide us through this inner child healing, or these different triggers that are going to come up?
Yes.
So, and I love that you provide that to our parents.
Thank you so much. I think that's so beautifully said. Yeah, they are our greatest teachers, you know, and our clearest mirrors. And what I'm starting to deeply understand is this business and this home life are so integrated. Like, when I'm moving through something in the home with my children, you know, they're showing me areas that I still need to heal. And those wounds show up in my business, you know? So it's like this microcosm of like, your kids are showing you where you need to go. You, if you want to grow or step into your next level, regardless of whether you have a business or not, whatever your ambitions are in this life, a lot of times your children are showing you, leading you the way, if you're open to see that, you know, it's been a really beautiful thing.
I'm just curious, as a non-mother, I'm like, can you give me an example of this? Because Hannah's also just like nodding in such like resonance. And I'm like, okay, I want to know what this is about. I feel like I, just as a non-mother yet, I think my husband and I are going to start trying to have a baby this year. But I know it's very exciting to finally be at this precipice. We've been 10 years together and we've been very like conscious in not trying to have children. We've been married almost 4 years. So now we're getting to a place where we're like, okay, this, we can feel the spiral starting to turn in a different direction. And for so long, we had been making that decision because I just knew from a really deep place within that I didn't I didn't want this yet. Like, maybe a lot of people listening right now resonate with what I'm saying, but it's like, through witnessing my sisterhood with Hannah and witnessing her have her child and stuff, it's been a really beautiful mirror that I'm like, yeah, do I want this? No, not yet. I really don't. I love living a super selfish life. I have no one else to think about but myself and my partner, my family. Like, there's been a part of me that's like, am I supposed to feel guilty about this? But at the same time, it's like, definitely not. And I'm so proud of myself that I have done this, because for years, like, family's like, when are you having a baby? When can we expect a grandchild? When can we expect a great grandchild? Like, Brittany, you better get moving. Brittany, your eggs, Brittany, this, Brittany, that, like, and I'm just like, so happy that we haven't made that step yet. But I'm also, to go back a couple minutes ago, I'm super curious to know, like, what you mean in the realm of how your children can show you, like, things to work on within yourself and how it shows up in your business too.
So that is a really great question. And also, I just want to, like, clap, applaud you, because following soul, right? Like, you know, not being pressured by society, expectations, like, so proud of you. Such a beautiful question. And an example that I give that has been, like, a really huge aha for me is where I limit myself emotionally with my kids. I've noticed, like, for all the work I've done around emotional intelligence and understanding and processing, my kids have mirrored back to me, specifically Kai, because he's older. He's mirrored back to me that I have a range of emotions in which I feel comfortable demonstrating in front of him, AKA vulnerability issues. So I can show disappointment. I can show joy. I can show, you know, I don't know, like, the very mild emotions, but extreme sadness and tears. Like, I tend to hold that back from him. There was this fear, like, he can't handle seeing me in pain. And that actually had me do some deep work and say, I wasn't modeled crying from my parents. They really hid that. And so it reflects, because there's a piece of me that holds back in business in the outer world, like vulnerability. Like, I don't like showcasing the struggles. It's had this link of, like, failure or not good enough. So I've really had to sit with myself and rewire this and be like, this is a human experience. This is an opportunity for deeper connection. This is everything people are moving through. And when because I had a moment where I was crying in front of Kai several months ago, and he showed me in that moment, not only is he strong enough to see this, but, like, this is normal to him. He's like, you okay, mom? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. He's like, okay. Yeah. When I'm sad, sometimes I cry too. It's normal for kids to feel the emotions and let it move through them and not to hold it in. And so it was just this beautiful reflection of, where do I get to go deeper? Where can I expand that emotional range and normalize it? Not only for my kids, but for myself and the people that I'm connecting with outside of the home. So building that awareness to see those moments, you know?
It's like that mini space holder. I'm just imagining right now, like, I also feel like, and Hannah, I know you were about to talk, and I really just want to say this quickly, thinking about having a little being that's half me and half my husband and, like, all the ancestors that have come before us is, like, almost too big a deal for me to still feel into. I feel like it's just, like, too crazy. But, like, then Hannah, I know that you experienced this with Emma, and I'm asking you to please share that story. I don't know what you're about to share, but, like, those moments of you having a child that's half you and half your husband that also has this innate ability to space hold for you. Like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
It's insane.
It's insane.
It's so beautiful. And I would go even as far as, yes, they are half me and half my husband and our ancestors, but also they have deep roots in their souls from ever lifetimes. And they're wise beings. Emma and Jacob, he's in the background right now with his nanny. They're such wise beings. And from that, I think sometimes we might think that, oh, this baby is born, it's this new, it's this blank slate, and I, as a mother, have the responsibility, or as a father too, the responsibility to program this blank slate now. And whatever that person is going to do, I am responsible for. And in some form, yes, we are giving them programs, but also they already come with their own blueprint. They already come with their own gifts, with their own inner knowings into this world, and even with their own wounds from our lifetimes or from ancestral wounds, you know. And so just knowing that helps to take a step back and not take everything personal that they're going through, feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm a failure as a mom because this is what my daughter is going through. My daughter taught me so much about emotions. She's a Cancer rising. She's actually very similar to Britt in that sense, because Britt, doesn't, as my sacred sister, also taught me a lot about vulnerability, the power of vulnerability. We're going to talk about this in the workshop tomorrow as cultivating sacred sisterhood. But it's like that she's a Taurus Gemini cusp, just as Brit, and she's a Cancer rising. And so she holds space for me when I go through hard times. And I was the same way as you. I wouldn't cry in front of other people. I was also raised in a household where you don't necessarily cry so openly, at least not the, like all the men in my family from my dad's side, my brother, my dad's side, nobody cries. Also the women from my dad's side, nobody would ever show these emotions. And I also went through that process of, okay, it's okay. It's okay to cry. It's okay. And it's not just okay, but it's also even part of our responsibility so that they know that it's okay not to be perfect. It's okay not to have your shit together all the time. It's okay to feel overwhelmed. It's okay to feel stressed. It's okay to sometimes be loud and do things that you apologize for after and be like, you know, I apologize for yelling at you. I'm like really stressed out right now. I have a bunch of stuff on my plate. This is a, like, don't take it personal. I love you. You know, I'm going through this right now and I apologize for that. And I feel like that gives us such an accountability too for us as parents to apologize for our kids, right? Like apologize to them because they're little beings. And it's not like we are always this like higher authority that knows all their stuff and we have to portray that to them in order for them to feel safe. It actually makes them feel more like conscious beings, and we want to raise conscious beings when we come down to their level, you know, meet them eye to eye and say, hey, I apologize for what I just did. And just also knowing like, hey, it's okay to get stressed and overwhelmed. Like raising conscious kids doesn't mean like, oh my gosh, you're going to be this perfect mom at all times and always chill and gentle and compassionate and whatever. Like, no, it's going to be ups and downs. And that's what we really want to share with our kids, to let them know it's okay. And when we do that, it's been such a healing process for me, because she's literally just holding space for me in that moment and comes and hugs me and says, it's okay, mama, and gives me kisses. And her demeanor shifts immediately. Like when she's like going through a hard time and I say to her, you know, I feel you, but it's like really stressful for me right now. I'm feeling really overwhelmed. And then she shifts her demeanor and it's like, oh, mommy, come here. And then we just hug for a moment. And it's like a whole different experience than if she was going for a hard time crying and not wanting to, you know, listen. And then I would get pissed and mad at her and put my stress onto her and make her do things that I want her to do because I'm stressed, but I'm not sharing with her that I'm stressed.
Yeah.
That's what's hurting our kids.
Yeah. So beautiful.
Right?
So beautiful.
Yeah, Nicole, I'm super curious to know, like, hightailing off that, dovetailing in to go even deeper in that direction, like, did you grow up with this conscious parenting style, or like what even started initiating you to thinking of your child that's in a deviant way from the way that a lot of, I know the way I was raised, where you're getting, you know, baby talked to and you're assumed to be unable to understand complex topics of conversation. Like, what helped you understand that or explore within speaking with your child or children as these conscious beings and like having the respect for them that they're autonomous and whatnot.
I love that question too. So I think it was just the contrast experience, which is one of, you know, discernment is one of the tenets in my movement of raising the conscious that we work through. And I think that just me being a child in the environment and having my parents whom I love, but come from, you know, a certain way of being, and this is what they knew and they passed it on. I think the beauty of experiencing the, we don't apologize, you're the child, you do what I say, the, we don't show emotions, we don't talk about certain things. It kept me at a distance. It kept us from really connecting and bonding in a way that I desired, you know, that I really, really desired. And so that just stuck with me through childhood and into adulthood, because it didn't feel good. It didn't feel, it didn't resonate with who I am and what I came to be. Like, I love connecting with people. I love getting to know people and holding space for each other. So when I was pregnant with my kids, I just had this ping of, I want to do things differently. I want to be able to apologize, as Hannah was talking about. I want to be able to honor who my child is and not dictate the moves that they make in this world. I want to co-lead with them and trust them. So it was really just that contrast experience. And then of course I was given my children, who wouldn't have it any other way, even if I wanted to parent differently. They are such strong, fierce humans that they came in here to do what they are supposed to do, regardless of my parenting approach. It's just a beautiful thing that I'm here and I've consciously chosen to support them in what it is they are here to do. But they were going to show me one way or the other that they're here to do what they're supposed to do. So basically by contrast and really leaning into that soul knowing and that soul desire. And it's just unfolded in so many different dimensions from that choice. Yeah.
I love how you just said too, how they would have chosen their mission irregardless of your parenting style.
Yep.
Because I feel like that's what helps me a lot, is like looking into the astrology chart of my kids. And for anybody who's listening to Sacred Sister Podcast, they know how much I love astrology and how I always bring everything back to astrology, even when it is annoying to others sometimes. But I'm like, this is where the beauty comes in, because we can actually look into their chart and see, okay, what are they coming with? What are the gifts that are coming into this mm-hmm. lifetime? What are their missions? And what is the mm-hmm. wound that are coming into? And then how can I show up as a parent to help them with that? And then when we put their chart on top of our chart, then we see, oh, what do they activate inside of me? And for my daughter, she literally, her Cancer rising is exactly between my Chiron and my Venus in Cancer. And it's activating this T-square that I have with Mars and Neptune. And the Chiron in Cancer is like the wound that I was talking about before, where I had troubles sharing my emotions, and she really helps hold space for that. The Venus is like my sisters. Like literally when I was pregnant with Emma, I started to have the first gathering, because I was like, I want to have a blessing way. I was looking into different forms. I didn't want to have a baby shower. So I'm like, what else is there? So I looked into blessing ways, and then Brit was there, and I invited like a bunch of my friends, and we had our first sister gathering. And from that moment, actually, we were like, oh, this is a lot of fun. Like we were coming together and we were singing and connecting. And we're like, oh, let's do that on a regular basis. And that's how we ended up starting Sacred Sister Gathering. And then from Sacred Sister Gathering, which was like a local group here in Las Vegas that Britt and I were leading, then it turned into Sacred Sister Podcast. So she literally, her Taurus Gemini sun literally helped me to, like, in my house of communication, literally helped us start Sacred Sister Podcast ultimately. You know,
so and beautiful.
Like it all like goes into line with what she activates. And another part she activates is my Mars. And that's my anger. And that was a huge thing for me, because she has a one of her tasks in this lifetime is to heal the anger wound that she actually has from her father's side, from her ancestors, mm-hmm. that he's already like continuously integrating. She is here to integrate it as well. And for me, Mars and anger was really hard for me to express outwardly. That was like the one emotion that was like the hardest for me to show and like stand up for myself and like really show that I am angry. And she does that very much so. She's a warrior for sure. And I love that about her. It can be super triggering, but also at the same time, I'm like, I just love how much she stands in her Mars. And this is what I'm here to do. And this is what I want. This is who I am. Bam. Yeah. And, you know, it really helped me a lot to forgive others that are going through anger, because I did have judgments towards them mm-hmm. because I didn't allow myself to express anger.
So good. So good.
And that's where that's all, you know, all the inner child stuff is coming back up and all this stuff. And this is where it's so beautiful when we have that sort of spiritual practice or we have some inner knowing of ourselves, because then those triggers can be actually turned around and be like, oh, that's a good thing.
Yes.
That takes us even deeper.
We translate it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love that. And I initially wanted to go in this direction too. So I love that we're going there naturally. So as a child that grew up getting spanked all the time, oh my gosh, I grew up getting hit so much, and it instilled this super fear, shame program inside of me. And that was something that I wanted to open up with you two ladies, because I know that this is like bringing the consciousness to the level that understands that a lot of times hitting and spanking, while it's envisioned to be a disciplinary measure, what a lot of times it kind of is a displaced anger outlet for the parent. That's like, something happens whenever I'm hitting something and it releases something in them. And then they can walk away from the experience, probably feeling a little bit bad about the fact that they just hit their kid. But at the same time, probably instilling inside of them that like, well, now they know not to do that. And I don't think it comes from a malicious place the majority of the time, but I just know as a child, the way that instilled a lot of fear inside of me. But then at the same time, because I haven't become a mother yet, I'm also kind of like scared that I'm like, well, what am I going to do? Because even when I grew up babysitting, I would like hit the kids sometimes. I would like spank them. And I just want to know like what you do in those moments that you are having a really hard time. And maybe you witness like, oh my gosh, this trigger from my past is coming up. This is when my parents would spank me. Like, do you have moments like that? And if so, like, how do you work through them? And like, especially Nicole, I know that you really coach people in this area. So what is it that you recommend?
Yeah, that's a really beautiful point too. I was raised being spanked too, my brother and I, and, you know, looking back at it, it's like, it was always a reaction. There was never, not once do the parents go, I'm going to sit and meditate and then I'm going to get up and go spank my children, you know, because that seems like the appropriate thing to do. You know, they'll certainly learn the lesson, you know, it doesn't, it's clearly a reaction. And research shows it doesn't even freaking work, you know? And so Mike and I really had conversations around not spanking. I will say Mike has given spankings a few times, and I've had to breathe through those moments and then come back to Mike and be like, okay. And like 90% of the time, it's like, I'm going to go have a conversation with him. I shouldn't. And what I love is that Kai is always shocked if it does happen, because it's not a standard thing. And I've not been one to spank. And I'm actually surprised in this, not that I've ever thought that that might be the thing, but it is interesting to see how easily I was able to break away from a pattern that I experienced as a child so regularly. My thing is to disengage as best as I can. And I know it's not always an option, but when Kai gets super wound up and he's out of control, it's like, we both need to disengage. Mm-hmm. You are dysregulated. You're not in your body. You're not hearing anything that I'm saying in this moment. Me yelling at you, it's not going to get through because you are dysregulated. So it's really about trying to get him to calm his body. And I think it's about us as parents increasing our threshold for the chaos in the moment, because really what we're trying to do is in the discomfort. And if we can increase our threshold to hold the discomfort and the noise and the dysregulation that's happening in our kid and hold that space, it will pass. And we can have a higher level, what I like to call conscious conversation, on the other end of it. And Kai, almost being 6 years old, every time he's acted out in a way that he knows is either not appropriate or not serving him or anyone else in the family, with time and with space, he comes back and he'll say, I'm really sorry. It's, you know, sometimes it's hard to control my body. Like, he's in a regulated place where we can have a discussion. We can reflect on what happened. I can ask him, what can we do differently? I can suggest tools moving forward. And sometimes it's frustrating because we'll repeat the same conversation, you know, and us as parents, again, have to hold the trust that we actually are moving in the right direction, even if it seems like we're repeating ourselves again and again and again. Again, it's that co-leading, it's the trusting, and it's the knowing yourself and having the emotional awareness to disengage when you need to disengage.
Yes, absolutely. When you just said, be more comfortable in the discomfort, it's like, yes, exactly. Because it's so freaking easy to be conscious and spiritually aware if you're in paradise, in stillness, in this peaceful place. But it's so much harder to be in that place when you're surrounded by chaos, when you're surrounded by people screaming and going for a hard time. And that's like the biggest challenge as a, you know, conscious spiritual person. Then it really comes down to, okay, how good is your spiritual practice really? You know, are you really walking your talk right now? Like, that's the moment of truth. And, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But I'm the same. Yeah, I feel the same way. It's like when we allow ourselves to breathe in that moment and just see them as beings that are being overflown with this huge wave right now. I see it in my daughter. She sometimes has these anger outbursts that, you know, my parents are like really concerned sometimes. And they're like, well, you know, you have to discipline her. And I'm like, what does that even mean? Because what I want to show her is not that her anger is wrong, because what happens if I tell her that her anger is wrong, she's going to swallow it down. Mm-hmm. She's not going to allow her to express it. It's going to either come out as illness in some way or another, or it's going to come out as like a violence later on in adult life and like a really hard time for her. So what I really want her to experience is creating leadership for her to learn how to move through those emotions. When she is sad, when she is angry, how can we move through that? And when I talk to her about it afterwards, she tells me it's scary for her at times. Mm. Like, she feels the fire. Mm. She feels like it rises through her body. And she's like, I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do besides just screaming. Mm. You know, and that's why we can have so much compassion, because they're little beings and emotional like intelligence is not being taught. And most adults don't even know how to do that, because we're being taught to just, you know, shove it down. Or, I mean, there are adults that just burst it out in wild ways that aren't really beneficial.
And I just want to take this second to celebrate you, because it's easy to miss this, but how beautiful is it that you create a loving environment and space for your daughter to be able to articulate that, to say, I don't know what to do in these moments. She feels safe enough to speak with you about her emotions. And a lot of us as children didn't have that opportunity or that space. So I just want to congratulate you, because that is everything. That is everything, you know? So
Oh my gosh.
I'm right on, mama.
Right now when you were saying that, because my inner child is like, yes, that's all I ever wished for.
Oh my gosh. Can I just say, like a couple weeks ago, can I give reflections on witnessing Emma's, do we call it tantrum? Can we call it tantrum? Okay, cool.
Yeah. Or like an anger outburst. Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Anger outburst. There we go. So, oh my gosh, we were going to do vision boarding, and we were saying about Emma, like when we vision board, you can paint. And one thing turned to another. We made soup. It took longer than usually. This is how our meetups go. It's like, we're just chatting so much that we get to our whatever, push comes to shove. It's like 11 o'clock at night. And Emma's like, I'm ready to paint now. And we were like, might be time to get ready for bed. Not what she wanted to hear. She really, really wanted to paint. So she starts having this anger outburst, and it's more wild than I've ever witnessed before. It's very, very loud. And I just kind of like put my head down on my hands in the couch, like bury myself in the couch. And I'm like, okay, how's this? What's going to pan out here? I don't usually see this in person with Hannah and Emma at this age. Emma's almost 5 years old. So first thing that I notice, Hannah drops down to like her knees and starts talking with her. And Emma like goes and hides in the cupboard and is opening the door every so often to be like, I don't want to go to bed. And then like slams the door shut. And then she's like slamming the door over and over. And I'm like, oh, I'm like traumatized on the couch. I'm like, what is going on? How do we survive this moment? It's like hellfire raining down. And it was just so cool to speak into what you're saying, Nicole, about giving them the space to see what happens, see how they handle themselves, see how they communicate themselves. And then it was like, you know, we held space for Emma to express what she wanted to express. And then Hannah was like, you know, I didn't know if she was going to let her paint and just be like, okay, fine. Like, let's just let her paint. But she was like, no, this, and I know that you have stuff that you're working through about establishing those boundaries and stuff too within your parenting, Hannah. So it's like taking her up to bed and being like, no, you're gonna paint tomorrow. Because this is a place where I struggle a little bit too. And I don't know how I'm going to be as a parent, because sometimes I understand about like, well, is it really that big a deal? Like, let's let them just paint. And then also establishing those boundaries and being like, no, it's 11 o'clock at night. You're going to bed. Like, I don't need to have the soft space around this whole moment. Like, no, you. So good. I was like, Emma, you scared me. Cause then I got a chance to tell her what that experience was like too. I was like, I was scared. Like, thank you for apologizing, because I wanted to help you, but this was wild. And thank you for apologizing to me, cause I got really scared.
And it was so beautiful, because it was coming completely from her that she wanted to go down and apologize. It wasn't like me saying, you should go down and apologize now.
I was curious.
So beautiful. And because she's at the age now where she's understanding that it's not just her, right? Like, there are other people around her, and her actions impact other people, and you're in this collective. So it's like this really beautiful developmental point. And she clearly demonstrated that she understands that by, on her own will, coming down and apologizing. She understood that she impacted other people around her. So I just think that's such a gorgeous example. Yeah.
And to that boundary piece, that is a big one to know when it's going to be like, that's a hard no.
Yeah.
And when it's like, you know, oh, you really want that? All right, we can make it happen, you know, because we don't always have to be like the super hard one, like, no, I said that this is going to be like this and it's going to be like this, because we also want to demonstrate cooperation and coming together and seeing them as on the same team and being like, okay, cool. So this is what you want. This is what I want. How can we find like a middle way in this? Like, how can we come together? Because if we just demonstrate to her, I said that this is what I want, you're going to fucking do it, or I'm going to be mad at you, then who are we raising? People that are coming out into the world and say, this is what I wanted, you fucking do it. That's not what we need in this world. We have enough of those.
Yep. Yeah. No, I love that. I tend to create pillars, you know? So there are certain things that are non-negotiable. Like we recently set with Kai, like 7:30 in bed. He knows what to expect around that. And then, you know, we eat meals together at the table, you know, and we wait for everyone to finish before he's excused. And so there's certain pillars that are in place that he can expect. And then there's flexibility between, as Hannah was saying, where there's room for negotiation. So the structure piece important for our younger ones. And then also like the flexibility and adaptability piece, especially for them. They've grown up through this pandemic. Like all they know is having to be adaptable and things changing all the time. So it's like, of course we've got to flow with them in it too. So yeah.
You know what? I love that you just said, I mean, all of that, but just for the people, I know for a long time, it's been difficult for my husband to envision having children. It's been like through leaning into his spirit more that he understands it from a different perspective. That's like, no, well, it's really important that beings like us bring higher those star seeds in. And I'm really curious to know, like, if you have some wisdom, Nicole, for just what you said now, raising children in a pandemic. I mean, again, as a non-mother, I can't imagine exactly what it would be like, but what is your like golden thread of wisdom around that? Like, can you offer?
I think a lesson that's come through with raising the babies, being pregnant during a pandemic, raising Kai through the pandemic, is that we often overcomplicate so much as parents, and our kids need so little from us. They need our attention. They need our love. They need to feel like we are connected and bonded. And truly, you will see how flexible and adaptable children are in any environment and any circumstance if they feel that you're giving them undivided attention, if you're taking time to connect with them, you're taking space to talk about how they're feeling, what's going on for them, and you're opening yourself up for those conversations too. I swear to you, like those are the recipe, that's the recipe for success, regardless of what's happening in the outside world. So I've really learned to simplify and let go of all the other things, like all the sports, all the activities. Yes, those are bonuses. It's awesome when our kids can finally get back and do these things. But like what happens in the home is 90% of their foundation. And if we can give them a solid foundation here, they'll be able to move with the tides. I really do have faith in that. Yeah.
Beautiful. And for anybody who wants to learn more from you, can you share a little bit about what do you offer and how do you work with others?
Yeah. So right now I have an amazing year-long container called The Gateway. It's a 12-month experience. Each month we have a new experience and we're just looking. So it's the intention of The Gateway is collective ascension through motherhood. So how do we all rise up together through the lens of parenting? So we look at so many different things like ancestral healing, partnership in parenting, beautiful experiences each month. So that's available. And then I also have just my flagship program, which is called Raising the Conscious. My goal is to just have this work out for the world, because I really think that these are the foundational pieces that shift us, that have us look at motherhood and parenting in a way that changes the paradigm. You know, we are birthing this new paradigm. I want mothers to feel secure in parenting from a soul-led space and being their most authentic self so they can raise authentic little babies. We go first. We model that it's safe for them. They follow suit. So that's what the work is all about. And I would love, love, love any woman who wants to join to come find me on social, all the places. So thank you so much for having me.
Mm-hmm. You're muted.
I was going to say, we're going to link all those pieces into the show notes. So your website and social media and everything.
Yes. Thank you.
So at the end of every interview, we have these sacred questions that we ask our guests. They're three sacred questions, and you can answer in a shorter format. Really, it's whatever rises to the surface and wants to be shared.
Okay.
Okay. So the first one is, what does sacred mean to you?
Holy. Deeply revered.
Simple and powerful, right there. And the second question is, who is a sacred sister to you? And what does it mean to have a sacred sister?
Ooh. You know, I'm going to say my mentor, Melanie Ann Layer. To me, to have a sacred sister is to have someone who can see and hold every facet of your being and honor and love you through and through. Yeah.
So beautiful.
Thank you.
The third and final question is, how do you personally turn something mundane into something magical or sacred?
In the spirit of the conversation, I will say adding intentionality and trying to see it through a lens of a child, because there is so much beauty, magic, and wonder through our children's eyes. So bringing the childlike spirit to whatever it is that I'm doing.
And isn't that also the deepest gift that children bring to us?
Yes.
When they see those things for the first time, or they taste something for the first time, or feel something for the first time, and you're like, oh my gosh, yeah.
You get to experience it all again. It's the most magical gift.
Yeah. So beautiful. Thank you so much. We really want to just extend so much gratitude for you curating the time to sit with us here at Sacred Sister Podcast, and for each and every one of you beautiful beings that are tuning in here now at the very end of the episode. We want to thank you so much. Sacred Sister Podcast would not be what it is without you. And we want to just extend so much warm wishes to you, and we'll see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for being here with us, Nicole. We hope that you have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thanks.